Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcand Show here at WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios. We are powered by Verizon. And we are Boston Sports Original here with you tonight for about 30 minutes. And then it's off to Red Sox pregame as we head to Tampa, George Steinbrenner Field. And oh boy, if you weren't already a little nervous about this series, if you haven't been paying attention, the Red Sox are in a complete tailspin right now. I spent about an hour and a half yelling about it last night. I only have about 15 minutes to yell about it here tonight, as I do want to talk a little football as well, which we'll do in the second segment before we get over to Red Sox pregame and the MassMutual pregame show. We got Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks on the call tonight, and we have a Tampa Bay Rays team that shouldn't really scare you. You've beaten them a bunch this year. You're 8-2 against them in 10 games, but a fat load of good that did you in this last series against the Yankees, right? That's the exact same record you had against New York, and they came to Fenway and kicked your ass. So I'm panicking, right? I said yesterday I smashed the panic button so hard I broke it, and that's sort of where I'm at right now. The further south this season goes, the more I keep thinking about the first 3 months of the year. And what really stuck out was their horrible record in one-run games, and we all talked about it ad nauseum at the time, and what was the cause of it, and why it was such a problem. And what were some of these issues that kept popping back up time and time again? Situational hitting was a big one. The bullpen not quite being settled outside of just Aroldis Chapman. You remember Whitlock wasn't great in the first couple of months. He did eventually pick it up and start pitching dominant, and that's what he's been lately. But it didn't start off that way. Slayton was injured. You had Tanner Houck go down with an injury. I mean, there was a whole bunch of things going on there in the rotation and in the bullpen, but it was still good enough. And you looked at the offense, and it wasn't great, but you could sort of look at it and say, well, at least, you know, even if certain guys are slumping overall, like even in their low moments, they were still in like the top five in the American League in hits or something. You know, there was always sort of something you could point to. Right now, at this point that they're at right now, the way the offense looks, there's no one to point to. There's Trevor Story, and that's it. Okay, he's the only one you can really point to and say, yeah, if you're an opposing pitcher, you have to plan around him. Other than that, you don't really have to. But that bad record in one-run games, you come back to that and you think about that. And you think about some of the criticisms of Alex Cora. And you just heard him right there after the game saying, hey, you know, we've got to play better. He talked about how you can't get too high and too low. It's a long season, which I don't really want to hear that when there's 9 games left. Hey, it's a long season. You know, you can't get too high and too low. It's the end of the season here. It's the end of the season, and you're spiraling out of control. Your train is off the tracks and skidding in the mud right now, okay? So I don't really want to hear about how it's a long season and you can't get too worked up and you got to just, you know, play it one game at a time. I need to see some urgency here. And I'm afraid that when you ask for something like that from this team, the urgency that you get instead leads to mistakes. It leads to guys giving away at bats. It leads to guys being really tight in the batter's box. It leads to fielding errors by Trevor Story, who's been your one guy in the lineup that you can count on this year. It leads to base running errors. It leads to bad situational hitting. It leads to Aroldis Chapman blowing his first game in however long. You know what I mean? Like, all of those things. I think when you look at this particular group and say it's time to show some urgency, that's the way the urgency gets reflected. They're much better when they're sort of free and easy and playing loose. And I feel like, for whatever reason, this whole thing has kind of come down to them not being able to get out of their own way. And I was really hoping that wouldn't be the case for this team, because one thing I heard all year long was that this team, because of its relative youth and inexperience, doesn't know what they don't know, and they're not going to fall victim to that big pressure, because for them, it's just their first time ever doing any of these things. And in some cases, that's true. A lot of the guys that you're referencing when you say that, though, are on IL right now, which really sucks. To have that many young players and have so many of them be laid up and unable to contribute until who knows when, one of them back down in the minor leagues, like, the whole thing just kind of sucks right now. Willie Abreu, I mean, I'd love for him to come back. People keep talking about, well, since Roman Anthony's been gone, the offense has been, you know, what it's been. Willie Abreu has been a big part of that as well. And yesterday I said something that some people got upset about when I was like, don't tell me that this entire offense was being held up by one guy, one 21-year-old, and that was the one thing keeping them from being what they've seen, what we've seen them be the last couple of weeks. And people said, well, that is what happened. Now, Willie Abreu went down too. But this offense should still be more than the sum of just those two parts. And they've been that at different points this year. But this, I mean, right now, we're all seeing the same thing. There's not really much to it. I asked yesterday, who's more at fault for what's happening right now, Alex Cora or Craig Breslow? And there was a pretty big split in the responses, both online and callers and, you know, texters and stuff like that. It was pretty split down the middle. But I noticed that everybody who had a take on it had a very strong take. It's definitely Cora. How could you possibly say it's Breslow? It's definitely Breslow. How could you possibly say it's Cora? And vice versa. Is what that sounded like. But I was thinking about a quote that Cora had back in June. Remember when they played the Angels back in June? I think they played them six times and won only one of the games against the, like, it's not a good stretch when they were losing to the Angels. But after one of those games in June, first week of June, Alex Cora was pretty down. He was saying things that were kind of doom and gloom. And he took accountability for it in a way that kind of acknowledged the fact that this team was just massively underachieving and that there was nowhere else to really point the finger. If we have this is Alex Cora from June 4th.
We keep making the same mistakes. We're not getting better. At one point, it has to be on me, I guess, right? I'm the manager. So, you know, I got to keep pushing them to be better. They're not getting better. They're not, you know. We keep making the same mistakes. You know, I'll be very honest about it, very open about it, you know, like...
Okay, I remember that moment pretty well. I was off by a day, but it was June 3rd. It was against the Angels. They lost in 10 innings. And Alex Cora, after the game, I wouldn't say he was like despondent right there, but considering how he normally doesn't get too down on these things and he's mostly just kind of level-headed even after a bad loss, he'll come out and say some things, but it's often not, hey, we're not getting any better.
We keep making the same mistakes. We're not getting better.
We're making the same mistakes and we're not getting better. And at the time, that was true. At the time, that was a true statement. For 3 months, this team just kind of middled. You know, they couldn't really put anything together. They made similar mistakes over and over again. They lost a ton of one-run games, and they weren't getting better. And Alex Cora was getting criticized a lot for it at the time. And then they took off. And after they took off, it was all a different story, and Alex Cora got a ton of credit for it and everything else. But now here we are. Here we are coming down the stretch, and they're starting to look a lot more like that team from the first 3 months that Alex Cora couldn't figure out and said isn't getting any better and, you know, making the same mistakes. They're still making those same mistakes today. There was a stretch where they made them less often. But if you really want to look at what that stretch was all about, it's exactly what the Cleveland Guardians are doing right now with Tanner Bibee and Gavin, what's his name? I mean, that's what's going on right now. That's a team whose starting pitching staff has just caught fire, and they're doing exactly what the Red Sox did for part of July, all of August, and then the first week of this month. And that is go out there and just mow everybody down and pretty much guarantee that you're winning 3 out of 5 games that week. You know, you're guaranteeing at least 3 wins every time through the rotation. That's how hot they were, and that's how hot Cleveland is right now. And what we're seeing now from the Red Sox instead is the frustrating, error-filled, I don't really, the underachieving disappointment of the first 3 months. And they turned it around before. I said this yesterday. They did turn it around before. But, you know, back in June, when Cora said that, there was a lot of, I think, for me anyway, it was June, right? So we didn't get to the trade deadline yet. And the trade deadline, I think, changed the conversation in a major way. The trade deadline obviously changed the conversation because that's when Craig Breslow had a chance to add to something that was already starting to pick up steam, right? They were already back over 500. They were starting to get better. They were a team worth investing in. Everybody agreed with that. We heard Breslow and Kennedy, everybody all come out and say that. Oh, yeah, this is a good team. We want to invest them and show them what's what. And they went out and got Dustin May and Steven Matson. That's it. And so that changed the conversation. But for most of the year, it wasn't really a question. For the first 3 months, if the question was, who do you blame more for this, Breslow or Cora, it was not even close. Craig Breslow was still considered, and still should be, I think, considered a guy that if things had gone very differently this year, like if they had played the way they played these last 2 months and the first 3 months, you'd be talking about Craig Breslow as executive of the year. And there was probably some points this year where that was in play for him. I don't know if it would be now. After that deadline, I don't see how it could. But you look at the additions that he made in the offseason and how vital they've been to this team. Alex Bregman to the side for a second because of the terrible slump that he's in right now. But you sort of look at all that, and it adds up to something. It adds up to a guy that should probably not be shouldering most of the blame here. He can shoulder what happened at the deadline because that's on him. That's 100% on him. He didn't do enough, and I think he knows that. You can also put some of, not all of the blame for the Devers trade on him too. I think that's something that he's going to have to wear, but I think there was more at play than just Craig Breslow wanting to save money. It's not his money. Who really wanted to save that money? What was the point of saving all that money? Because Craig Breslow wanted John Henry to save money. Like, you know what I mean? I think that's one of those instances where the needs of the top were bigger than the needs of the team. And that's been a problem with this team before. I mean, we've all known, we've seen instances of it. We've seen four straight off seasons of it, and trade deadlines for that matter, where it's just not worth it. We don't want to have to sign a big contract like that. We don't want to have to wade out into these waters. And then they finally changed that up a little bit this year. They did. Investment in Crochet like that, an investment in Chapman, going above and beyond to get Alex Bregman in here. I mean, I think all of that were moves that you have to tip your cap to. But by the same token, it was another horrible trade deadline. And that, I think, has really pushed Breslow to the forefront of this right now, not to mention the fact there's a lot of people out there who still miss Rafael Devers. Now, I was talking about the Devers trade yesterday, and people were like, oh, why are you dying on this hill, Arcand? And the main reason why I'm doing that, not that I think this argument's wrong, but if you want to present it that way, the reason why I'm going hard at that thing is because what saved the Red Sox was the starting pitching, and it had nothing to do with the Devers trade. Unless you think Rafael Devers' influence over Crochet, Bayo, and Giolito would have caused them to not pitch as well, which I don't understand how that works, then I'm not really sure how Devers being here or not being here would have made a difference. And at the very least, if he needed to go, you needed to replace him, and they didn't. So that's why I still think that's a relevant thing to bitch and complain about, and that's why I'm still doing it. And I think anybody else still doing it has every right to. And on that note, we'll go to the phone. 617-779-7937 is the number. We'll get to your calls here in just a moment. First, Dan Ball is going to get you caught up on what's trending. When we come back, your Red Sox calls also. Want to talk a little bit about the Patriots and the Steelers and what we saw last night in Thursday Night Football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
First, here's Dan.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left here on the Christian Arcan Show. Before we hand things over to the Mass Mutual pregame show, head on down to Tampa, Florida, George Steinbrenner Field for the Red Sox and the Rays. Along with Boston, we are broadcasting live in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. And if you're not in any of those places, don't forget you can stream WEEI and the Christian Arcan Show anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. And you heard Dan Ball there. Stiz is back behind the glass as well. Normally on the nights when I have a show, I'm on with Joe Braverman, and today is Joe Braverman's birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Joe
birthday,
Braverman.
Joe!
Bravo! So, ladies, if you see Joe out tonight, give him a great big smooch right in the kisser there, all right? Because it's his birthday. He's a great guy, and we love him here at WEEI. Okay, that's all that mushy stuff out of the way now. Let's talk about this football game coming up on Sunday. We will talk much more about it and in much greater depth on the Football Sunday show with myself, Ted Johnson, Chris Schein, Megan Ottolini, Tommy Kern, Jermaine Wiggins. Don't think Ken Laird's going to be producing it anymore, but that was fun for 2 weeks. That will be on Sunday starting at 10 o'clock, so we'll have much more in-depth analysis than what I'm going to give you here in these final 5 minutes. But I will just say this. Between DK Metcalf, between Calvin Austin, and between Pat Freiermuth, and Jonnu Smith for that matter, you have a pretty solid, I'd say, passing attack with the Steelers team. Is it better than what the Dolphins have? I think you could make that argument. Yes, it is. I think they have a better line than the Dolphins have. I don't think they have a better run game. Dolphins' run game is certainly superior. But if we're just talking about the air attack, then I look at that Pittsburgh Steelers team as a team that can put up some points and probably will put up some points here. And as bad as their defense was last week, they did force a couple of turnovers in the first half of last week's game, which I feel like people are kind of conveniently forgetting because they ended up losing by 2 touchdowns. But that Steelers defense, they picked off Darnold twice in the first half. They were up at the half, too. Things fell apart, obviously, in the second half, so maybe they can't sustain it. But they were able to create some pressure. They were able to force some bad throws, and their guys in the secondary made a couple of plays. That being said, I think the Patriots have to be better than what the defense has shown so far, but I don't think you're going to see it from either one of these teams in this game on Sunday. I think what you're going to see here is Drake May continuing to connect with his wide receivers. I think that Josh McDaniels is getting more comfortable drawing up an offense for him, and I think that over on the other side, Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers are going to not have a terribly hard time with the Patriots defense. Now, the front seven gave me a little bit of hope. Milton Williams with that game-clinching sack pumped me up last week, and I hope that they can carry some of that over into this next game, because this is a team right now that has shown themselves as a team that's capable of getting to the quarterback. They're capable of getting there. Landry has proven already in 2 games to be a disruptive playmaker on the defensive line coming off the edge there, and I'm really happy to see that. I was a little worried that he was just going to be one of Vrabel's guys that he brought over because he knew him and he coached him and he just wanted his guys around. It reminded me of Gerard Mayo a little bit, you know, that whole move. But instead, Landry's been the real deal so far, and that is great to see. Milton Williams, I think, is doing some nice work up front as well. And, guys like Spillane and some of these other linebackers and defensive linemen, Barmore, Keon White, et cetera, you know, if he can get out there, I think would be nice to see them contribute as well. But just something tells me that Metcalf and Austin and Freiermuth and Smith and those guys are just going to create a lot of matchup problems for this Patriots secondary. And because of that, I think there's going to be a lot of points that get scored. I think you should really be liking that over and maybe even like teasing it a little bit if that's the way you want to go. But more importantly, I want to say I think the Patriots will win this game. I think they're better than the Steelers. I think they can beat the Steelers. They're going to be at home. And Aaron Rodgers is not the Aaron Rodgers that we all remember. I don't think that he's got some miracle drive in him. I think it'll be the question of whoever gets the ball last. And I believe in Drake May. I do. After watching that
last game against Miami, who I know is not a particularly strong defense, I become a believer in Drake May, because as much as you think he may not be ready to go out there and dominate in the NFL, and I think you're probably right about that if that's how you feel, he'll have games where he looks dominant. He looked dominant last week. And there'll be games where he looks maybe more like he did against the Raiders. I still think it's very much a work in progress. But if you go down the list and you look at some of these guys he's going up against, Aaron Rodgers is one of the better ones. You know, Aaron Rodgers is one of the better QBs that the Patriots are going to be seeing here for a while, you know, not counting Josh Allen. But really, I mean, like, that's it. You go down the list and it's not a pretty picture. The Patriots' schedule this year is a real advantage that maybe I didn't take into account as much as I should have coming into the season. Looking at it, I kind of figured that the Patriots would still be struggling to get out of being a bad team themselves, and maybe they still will be. But these teams that they're going up against, I feel like, are in a lot more trouble than they are. And even if they don't have a big season, even if they only win six games or so, but are close in like 9 or 10 of them, I would consider that good progress. I know a lot of Patriots fans don't agree with me. They think that would be the mark of a bad season, but my expectations just aren't that high. I still, even after that win last weekend, I'm not looking at this like a 10-win team or a playoff team. I'm looking at it as a team that's making progress, and that's a good thing to be doing. I mean, really, it's better than the alternative, and there's a bunch of teams on the schedule right now who already, through the first two games, are going in the other direction. So, listen, momentum only counts as much as your last week and what you're about to do in this upcoming week. And I don't see a Steelers team here that I'm really worried is going to walk into your house and smack you around. It just they don't seem to have that kind of aura about them this year. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is, you know, fine, and someone who's probably still got a bit of an advantage, just, you know, in terms of experience-wise, over someone like Drake May. But I think that Drake May is a guy that's starting to figure out how this offense runs, and I think Josh McDaniels is going to put him in a position to succeed. So that's my thought on this game. I like the Patriots in a very high-scoring game. I think that you're going to be looking at a, you know, 38-35 type of score, with just a bunch of touchdowns and defensive miscues. That's what I'm expecting this weekend. And by the way, I love games like that. Aren't games like that the best, where it's just boom, down the field, touchdown, boom, back the other way, pick six this way, all that stuff? I love that. Oh, man, those are my favorite kind of games. I like games where they don't play defense at all. Those are the games that pump me up. And with that, it is time to move over and make way for the Mass Mutual pregame show, which is coming your way here in just a moment, as the Red Sox getting ready to take on the Tampa Bay Rays at George Steinbrenner Field. And as I said earlier, this is a very important series. Too important to be playing at George Steinbrenner Field, isn't it? You know, you just got done with the A's out in Sacramento at a minor league field. You're coming back, another minor league field. I have a bad feeling about this. And ironically, they won 2 out of 3 last time they were there. That was an interesting series. Tanner Houck in the first game got absolutely smoked. They lost 16-1. Remember this all the way back in April? It's a long time ago when they were last at Steinbrenner Field, but it was back in April, first game. Tanner Houck gets absolutely destroyed. And remember Tanner Houck, by the way? Remember him? I really expected him to be like a big-time contributor this year, and the injuries got to him, but he wasn't really doing much before that anyway. At any rate, for everybody who is concerned about this team and what this series is going to mean, let's just hope that all the Steinbrenner ghosts stay away from Tampa Bay this weekend. And with that, we move on. Mass Mutual pregame show is coming your way next. I'm Christian Arcan. This has been a short version of the Christian Arcan show. We'll be back Sunday for Football Sunday here on WEEI starting at 10 o'clock. So make sure you tune in. See you later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.